You're sitting across from someone who just hurt you, yet somehow you're the one apologizing. You walked into this conversation with a legitimate concern, but now you're defending yourself against accusations you never saw coming. Your gut screams that something's wrong, but you can't quite name it. Welcome to the invisible battlefield of manipulation, where the weapons are words, the wounds are psychological, and the aggressors wear masks of innocence. Most of us assume that people who hurt others are troubled souls acting from fear or insecurity. We've been taught that aggression stems from pain, that bullies are really victims underneath. But what if that's dangerously wrong? What if some people aren't running from their demons, but running toward their desires, calculated, conscious, and completely in control? The uncomfortable truth is that manipulation isn't always a symptom of brokenness. Sometimes it's simply a strategy for winning. Every toddler grabbing a toy, every teenager negotiating curfew, every adult jockeying for position at work, we're all fighters. This isn't cynical, it's human. We fight for resources, recognition, and control. The question isn't whether we fight, but how. Healthy assertiveness means standing up for legitimate needs while respecting others. Aggression means pursuing what you want with little regard for anyone else. But covert aggression? That's aggression in disguise, fighting dirty while looking clean. Traditional psychology emerged to address excessive inhibition, but today's problems stem from too little self-restraint. Therapists trained to see fear everywhere often misread manipulation as anxiety, viewing calculated fighters as frightened runners. This leaves victims unsupported and manipulators unaccountable. Character isn't personality. It's how we conduct ourselves with others, balancing self-interest with social responsibility. Neurotic personalities suffer from too much conscience, constantly second-guessing themselves. Character-disordered personalities have too little conscience, lacking internal brakes on selfish behavior. If someone makes themselves miserable, they're probably neurotic. If they make everyone else miserable, they're probably character-disordered. Covert aggressives are fighters who've learned that hidden aggression works better than obvious force. They possess unwavering determination to win, deceptive charm that disarms targets, unscrupulous tactics, impaired consciences, and exploitative relationships where others exist to serve their needs. These traits aren't symptoms of insecurity. They're features of a fundamentally different worldview where winning justifies almost anything. A husband deflects his wife's concern about pressuring their daughter. Shouldn't any good parent want their child to succeed? Now she's defending her parenting instead of discussing his excessive demands. A teenage daughter threatens to run away whenever mom enforces rules, weaponizing parental love against boundaries. These scenarios reveal a disturbing pattern. You sense you're in a fight but can't prove it. The aggression is real but invisible, leading you to doubt your perceptions, which is exactly the point. Consider Joe Blake, who positioned himself as the more concerned parent when his daughter Lisa struggled. While his wife Mary suggested Lisa faced normal pressure, Joe framed himself as leaving no stone unturned, subtly implying Mary was negligent. Or James, the minister who moved his reluctant family to a prestigious city congregation while claiming to follow God's calling. His wife, Jean, felt guilty questioning his dedication. When rumors of family problems threatened his advancement, James suddenly arranged family time, not from genuine care, but to protect his image. He exploits Jean's selfless nature, deploying guilt-tripping and subtle shaming to make her feel selfish for wanting more family time. Covert aggressives excel at showing you what you want to see while concealing their true nature. Al charmed everyone, boosting sales and morale while reassuring Don his job was secure, only to bring in Jeff and force Don to split his accounts. Al's deception came through omission rather than outright lies, leaving Don facing an impossible choice: start over at an advanced age or take early retirement. Betty positioned herself as indispensable through hard work and extra tasks. When Jack joined as executive assistant, Betty outwardly supported him while secretly undermining him, telling the boss his ideas were underdeveloped and planting doubts about his character. Jack, increasingly isolated, eventually left as planned. Betty exemplifies the crucial distinction between reactive and predatory aggression. Reactive aggression is emotional, a cornered cat arching its back, emotions on display. Predatory aggression is calculated, a cat stalking a mouse, calm and concealed until striking. Betty wasn't motivated by fear, but by desire for power. This distinction explains why anger management classes fundamentally misunderstand predatory aggressors. They aren't acting from fear or anger, but from calculated desire. Aggressive personalities resist socialization that would install internal brakes on their behavior. They detest submitting to authority, resulting in impaired consciences. Covert aggressives uniquely maintain appearances while violating moral principles' spirit, showing restraint when watched, but revealing their true character when they believe they're immune from detection. Mary Jane, desperate after her husband left, took a job with Mr. Jackson, who initially seemed supportive. As her workload increased without compensation, she discovered his true motives. When requesting a raise, he revealed his expectation of sexual favors, noting how other women had been cooperative. Though disgusted, Mary Jane felt trapped by financial desperation. Mr. Jackson expertly identifies and exploits vulnerability, keeping victims in one-down positions. How someone uses power reveals their true character. Mr. Jackson preyed on Mary Jane's desperation, confident he wouldn't face consequences. He's not technically antisocial. He breaks no major laws and contributes through his business. He exemplifies the channeled aggressive and covert aggressive personality, maintaining social respectability while privately exploiting others. His evil isn't aggression itself. Some channeled aggression positively contributes to business success. Rather, it's his refusal to fully own and responsibly restrain his aggressive tendencies. He maintains appearances and protects himself if caught, but has never committed to disciplining his aggression. Covert aggressives exploit emotional insecurities, seducing partners with charm before revealing their true nature. By the time victims recognize manipulation, they've invested too much emotionally to leave. When Bill is hospitalized for an overdose, he masterfully plays the victim, making Genesis feel selfish for wanting to leave. Despite her anger, she doesn't recognize the manipulation and returns. Bill combines victim playing with guilt tripping while blaming Janice and alcohol. Their relationship demonstrates the slot machine syndrome. Victims stay hoping for occasional rewards despite massive emotional investment. The appeal of potential jackpots, occasional small rewards, and the psychological difficulty of abandoning substantial investment create an inescapable trap. Unlike true codependency, Bill is an emotionally independent aggressor fighting to maintain power, viewing Janice as his possession. Children naturally fight for what they want, initially openly and physically. Most learn to moderate overt aggression through discipline, discovering instead how to manipulate others by pressing emotional buttons. Jenny visits a therapist worried about daughter Amanda's low self-esteem. When privileges were revoked for incomplete homework, Amanda sobbed dramatically, claimed everyone hated her, and refused to speak until Jenny relented. Though Amanda previously bullied her brother and was suspended for fighting, Jenny believes her behavior has improved. Amanda hasn't stopped being a fighter. She simply changed tactics. The aggressor sets the rules in human engagement. To avoid victimization, quickly redefine terms by establishing a more favorable power balance. Effective protection requires being free of harmful misconceptions, accurately assessing others' character, maintaining self-awareness about vulnerabilities, recognizing manipulation tactics, and avoiding unwinnable battles. A critical misconception is believing everyone thinks similarly. Covertly aggressive people differ fundamentally in worldview, code of conduct, and motivations. Identify people with aggressive traits. If someone always pushes to have their way, must win, seeks the upper hand, or won't take no for an answer, they likely have an aggressive personality. Those who rarely give straight answers, make excuses, induce guilt, or use manipulation tactics demonstrate covert aggression. Manipulators gain leverage by understanding victims' vulnerabilities. Self-knowledge provides counter-leverage. Key vulnerabilities include naivete, overconscientiousness, low self-confidence, over-intellectualization, and emotional dependency. People victimized by manipulators often become too confused and depressed to think clearly. This stems from fighting unwinnable battles, particularly trying to change the manipulator. Progress only happens when you focus on what you control, your own behavior. Practical strategies include setting clear limits, making direct requests using I statements, accepting only direct responses, staying present-focused, and keeping responsibility on the aggressor. The most profound self-love isn't understanding your manipulator, it's understanding yourself well enough to walk away.